Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody is doing well. I hope everybody's enjoying the fire hose of information. Remember, we have a fundamental premise, or at least I have a fundamental premise that I, you know, there's three of them that I try to live by. The first is reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. The second is knowledge is power. And so, as you understand, if we all understand things equally, and as I like to point out to people, as a matter of fact, I had a great conversation the other day with G. Edward Griffin, and his comment was, hey, let's look at, you know, trying to set up a constitution and or a government. Let's just pretend that we have no knowledge of the U.S. Constitution. What would we do? And so I get back into the academic space with them and say, look, if we actually had the same things all being equal, things aren't equal today because nobody is equally informed. Nobody is equally educated. The advantage that the framers had, and this is why this is really important, friends. This is why it is important that we all basically look at the same source documents to understand exactly how things were presented and how things are. These are the facts. I mean, these are the source documents. So like Alexis de Tocqueville's analysis of Democracy in America in his book, Democracy in America, or Ludwig von Mises' economic treatise on socialism. There are books and books, but you got to remember, let's get back to the framers. The framers did not have the internet. They did not have a barrage of information. They did not have they did not have all of this variety and a sundry of different sources and documents. They all basically shared the exact same. And as a matter of fact, the first time America leaped forward in its library of books outside the common ones, such as Cicero, Locke, Bacon, Montesquieu, and those, was when Thomas Jefferson started traveling abroad. He shipped so many books home that he actually incurred such a debt that that debt ended up crumbling his estate as soon as he passed. That's how much money he spent on books, because he wasn't just happy being equally informed. He wanted to be better informed. And so, again, back to the premise, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree, because we all are standing on the same understandings of republicanism, the same understandings of these same principles that the framers were building this nation upon. That second premise being knowledge equals power. If you start understanding things, then you become a very powerful person. As you understand the article that I just wrote, Standing Army and the Intent of the Second Amendment and so forth, it will change your paradigm so that you have a completely different view of the Second Amendment. You will have a completely different view of self-government and what the framers gave us and how we were actually protected from a standing army ever occurring. That third premise that I want to go through this because I don't go through this that often, but that third premise that I live by, or I try to, you know, get people to at least understand why I'm doing all of this, people are the fountain of political power. And when people have equal knowledge and they start understanding and it becomes evident right there, glaring in their face, that there's a problem, that there's this huge violation to the Constitution, and there's this process of getting it back, then 9 times out of 10, that knowledge is power is just completely wasted. In other words, power is never power until it is applied, right? I mean, you may have a battery, and that battery may just sit there, and there's power in that battery. And that battery, over time, will decay and decay, and it'll end up, you know, people have seen their batteries melt because that battery just sat there and was wasted. That knowledge and that power that you are obtaining is being wasted unless you apply that power. So, going back to that third premise, the people are the political power or the fountain of political power, means that that only happens when you apply that power to whom? To the sovereigns. Because if you understand our political process, we're a Republican form of government. That means we have representatives. And if we're not telling our representatives what the problem is and what they need to be doing, then they'll never fix the problem. And the real problem is, going all the way back to the beginning premise, reasonable people equally informed. So most people think, oh, it's about abortion, it's about immigration, it's about the IRS, it's about the Fed. It's not about any of those things. It's about compliance with the Constitution. Because when everybody realizes that all of these problems exist because of the lack of compliance to the Constitution, then that is the succinct message that we all, if we all agree on this and we all start applying that power as the fountain of political power, we create a succinct and very concise message that we send to our political representatives, telling them it's about compliance. You must comply to the Constitution at all times, and you must demand that the federal government comply. There's a reason why everybody has to take an oath, my friends. An oath is an actual legal obligation. You violate that, you've actually committed moral perjury. So with that, I'm just trying to give you this perspective that that's this whole process of what we're doing and getting you informed is to give you knowledge. And to give you that knowledge comes with that power. And then once you start realizing our political system and a Republican form of government, you can start using that power and getting other people equally informed. Because right now, those of us who are demanding compliance are being washed out by the squeaky wheels of abortion, by the squeaky wheels of these myopic problems that aren't really the problem. They are symptoms to the problem. And that's why I would highly recommend you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and read that article if you haven't read it from my Facebook post on Mobius Strip Press on Facebook. So with that, we're starting to actually knock a couple of loggerheads together here. People are starting to make some connections. And I will let you know as soon as that article is available on Liberty Centennial, because they're going to be reposting it or posting it up as well. And I'd love to see other good constitutional organizations actually take that, because nobody's ever articulated this in this perspective. And the reason that I actually sat down and wrote this eight-pager is because, and that's why it's so long, folks, I have to actually give you the proof and the evidence. That's why all these sites, there's about two pages of citations in there. And without those citations, it's just my word for it. I could just say, oh, we're living under a standing army. But until I actually prove and write down, you know, this part of the Constitution and these parts of the ratification debates and so forth, then you can actually see for yourself how I've connected the dots and I've made an irrefutable argument that we are living under federal tyranny to the degree that it is a standing army, the exact thing that the framers actually protected us from constitutionally. And so here's the connection, folks. If we get compliance, those agencies go away. Vaccines, the requirements for vaccinations and the requirements for all of these, you know, medical procedures and so forth, they all go away. So with that, I also want to let you know, because I'm just kind of hitting you with the fire hose, that the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And that's why this is the only show that gives you the academic and evidence-based solutions of what it takes to get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. Now, I've, you know, told you we're going to be getting into some marketing, but not today. I told you that we need to cover ex post facto and bills of attainder laws. These are really important because the laws get passed all the time that either, you know, go right up to that line or they actually cross that line. And 9 times out of 10, people do not understand that, oh, we've kind of stepped on that line. Or, oh, wow, I didn't know that this, you know, I don't even know what an ex post facto law is, really. It's that bad. So what we want to do is we want to get you equally informed so that you can understand the same things that the framers did. And the other thing I want to get into, because I realize I'm running out of time and I haven't even gotten into some of the obligatories. The other thing we want to let you know is we will be replaying our Thanksgiving proclamation that we just played in the previous episode. That will be re-aired for Thanksgiving. I'm actually going to take a break from doing a live show for Thanksgiving. So we hope that if you can't find the document, if you can't actually get that proclamation from George Washington, then play the show. Play the show for your family, and that way you can actually help them understand how spiritual Thanksgiving is really supposed to be, how it is not about feasting, pilgrims, and the rest of the things that we have been manipulated into believing. And so with that, I will let you go, and we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the audit process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so the next thing I actually forgot to remind you was that we're also going to be getting into Teddy Roosevelt's Hyphenated Americans as we start moving towards the Bill of Rights. Now, in a previous show, I had a caller call and say, hey, you referred to Teddy Roosevelt as the one who instituted a lot of the progressive policies and so forth. And he kind of started it off, but actually I did mean Franklin Delano Roosevelt or FDR. So I stand corrected. But anyway, that's why we don't edit when we talk. I apologize. I love being accurate and I love being right. And yeah, I was maybe it was a Freudian slip, if there's such a thing when it comes to presidentials and all that type of stuff. But anyway, we do have a sponsor. Our sponsor is Red State Coffee. We would ask and we would be humbled if you would consider, you know, changing, because we know how loyal people are towards their Maxwell House or whatever it is. But we would be humbled if you would at least give Red State Coffee grind or whole bean a try. And the way to do that is go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, click on that link that will take you to the Red State Coffee on eBay. Get yourself one bag. That's all we ask. And even if it's still more expensive than what you would want to spend or what have you, if that's a good coffee, let us know. If it's a bad coffee, either way, let us know. 425-270-5416. Another way you can support us is you can just give us, instead of the $12 or whatever, you could just throw us money at our crowdfunding on GoFundMe, and a link to that is right underneath the Red State Coffee. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, click on the link, it'll take you to GoFundMe, and you can contribute that way. The money that you're contributing, again, like I constantly say, does not go to compensation or, you know, for me to live a highfalutin lifestyle, because that's not the case. The money that you're actually contributing is going to help pay for money that we've already been subsidizing this fight and this war. And we're just asking, hey, if you can help with the cause, then we believe that you will be blessed just as we are being blessed. And I'll even go down this path as well. There's an argument to be made for the fact of why is it, because clearly a lot of this stuff, was inspired by, you know, my reading or what have you, however all of this happened, there's no doubt. As a matter of fact, every time I talk to people, they go, wow, how did you even think of this? How did you even come up with this? I mean, wow, that's really seeing the forest through the trees. I'm telling you that there was really nothing special about me other than the fact that I was at least humble enough to be and open-minded enough to read, and to pray. And as the framers attested that the divine hand of providence inspired them, I'm saying the same thing. This is not about me. This is about us, my friends. And if you recognize the truth, if you recognize what I'm asserting here, then you will realize that if you help us, because I believe, there's no doubt in my mind, I'm really blessed. I'm a very blessed man. We're blessed with a great wife, family, and so forth. And I will just tell you that we would love and we would humbly and gladly share those blessings with you to come on board and to assist in this. So that way, and obviously I'm spending a little more time than I used to, but bottom line is you can actually, you know, help us out. And if you want to do that, that's great. More importantly, this is the part I always emphasize. It's not about the money. And as a matter of fact, it's really about you. If you can get involved instead of contributing, maybe you don't have the money. But if you've got the time and if you're willing to even step into the fray, we will help you in getting elected as long as you're willing to commit to compliance, because that's what it's about. And there's lots of people that kind of recoil, and I get this all the time from politicians. Well, I'm not going to sign no pledge. I'm going to sign a guarantee that I'm going to resign if I violate the Constitution. Well, that's what you're doing when you state your oath of office. So, what I have to tell you is that if you're not willing to, you know, make that kind of a commitment, I get it. But why is it that there's so many people, because they believe they're above the law? We need to actually start finding humble people that are willing to serve that don't believe that they're above the law. It's one thing to just step down. You know, just step down. If you don't understand, if you ain't got the time, then don't step in. But if you understand the importance of compliance, step in. Because you have a greater likelihood of being compliant and learning of what it takes to become compliant than it does for any of these people that aren't. And I'm telling you, with all the people around you, our focus is on getting everybody to that same point. We, as a matter of fact, I truly believe the Constitution limits us from having religious tests. There is no reason why we do not have constitutional tests for our public servants, because they have to take an oath that they're going to comply to that. And if they don't understand what that is, they just want to plead ignorance. I'm telling you, they, my friends, the days are over where they can plead ignorance. We have to hold them to the same standard that they would want to hold us, their plumbers, or anybody that's working for them. Now let's move forward. I will be doing a memorial for Elijah Cummings. And I will also be doing, but that's down the road. It'll probably be in January once we get through the Bill of Rights and all these other things I need to cover. Let me even say this, because I pointed this out and I don't want this to just go away. The NBA is kowtowing to the Chinese Communist Party in supporting the suppression of speech, supporting the enslavement and the oppression of the Chinese people. In other words, I want to be very clear. The NBA is supporting slavery to the state. They are slave supporters, and they're supporting the slave master of billions of people. I'm here to tell you that this cannot be acceptable. And the question I ask you is, why is there no outrage by the NBA fans? Why is it that people are going to that game, and why is it that people are not calling them out for just kowtowing and bending over to the Chinese? That's because, there's a lot of money there. And they are being slaves to the Chinese Communist Party as well. So go put that in your pipe and smoke it, communist, because bottom line, what we're looking at is a very effective way of getting people to become subjugated, and that process is by money. They're being bought and sold for, and you NBA fans that are pumping money into the NBA, let them leave. Let them become a communist party, a league, and get them out of the United States. If that's what they want to support, they want to turn their backs on this concept of slavery and the evils of it, then fine, let them go. They have no business being here in the first place, as far as I'm concerned, if that is their attitude. Now let me move on, and let me get you to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and look for the new article. If you've not read that, you need to start forwarding this out. We will be putting the PDF up there probably in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully by that time I'll have editing and some cleaning up on it. If you find any problems, by all means, send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and we'll insert those edits. I will tell you that, just like most everybody, I'm probably one of the worst editors of, you know, my own material, and most people just have a hard time. Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, you go, oh, that looks right. Is that wrong? It's hard. It's hard to find those types of things. And to take that time, maybe I need some editing courses of how to, you know, edit your own material. But anyway, what I am going to do in my next article is going to be about power of attorneys. And the difference between power of attorneys, or the lack of difference between a power of attorney and a constitution. I am also working on trying to finish the America being a Christian nation and the foundation of all of that. And so that'll probably be, like I said, I'm probably going to break that down into three parts, but I'm going to try to be pumping out some of these articles because I think they're really important. Because when you start seeing the simplicity of, you know, the Constitution versus the power of attorney, or the fact that this was a Christian nation and how godless we've become and how debased, and the reason why we're no longer an enlightened nation is because of the secular godless of taking control, and we've thrown discipline, we've thrown these concepts that are, you know, were the principles of our founding, and we've just thrown them away. And I think about this all the time. I wonder, you know, we say that we have a moral, just system because, you know, anybody is being held accountable if they violate the law. In other words, if they do harm to somebody else. But we're not a moral and just society when we allow pornography to be prevalent, when we allow people to become victims to addictive behaviors and those types of things, like gambling. And that, I mean, these things are not a good thing. And to be honest, they're a scourge on our society. And so I'm here to tell you that, you know, we need to start changing our paradigm and shifting it towards enlightenment. But with that, we've got two promos, so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay. I promise you we're going to dive into ex post facto laws and bill of attainder laws. And so we want to dive into these because both the state and the federal government are constrained. I mean, they are forbidden to be able to pass these types of laws. So the term ex post facto translates to out of the aftermath or from a thing done afterward. In the legal world, the term refers to the punishing of an act that was once legal but is now considered criminal. For example, ex post facto laws can either create new penalties for a particular action or extend sentences already issued. Now, if you understand what this concept is, to be clear, ex post facto laws are laws that criminalize conduct that was previously legal. In other words, if it was legal for you to drill on your property to get water, to access water underneath your property, and then all of a sudden they pass a law that says you can't do that, that is an ex post facto law because they've criminalized it and they're going to come after you and they're going to penalize you and they're going to shut you down. These laws can also make punishments that were already in place more severe. So it's like, let's say you got into a scuff with somebody and you beat somebody up because things really got to a point where you were upset. Well, all of a sudden, they pass another law that says, hey, we believe this is a hate crime. And we believe that there's these things called hate. And now what we want to do is pass this law to actually extend punishments even further if we can prove that it was hate related. That right there is a punishment making it more severe. And so that way they can add more time to a defendant's sentence. Now, there are two clauses in the United States Constitution that forbid ex post facto laws. Specifically, and I've read through these on Constitution Week, Article 1, Section 9, Subsection 1 dictates that Congress cannot pass any ex post facto law. And Article 1, Section 10, Subsection 1 explains the exact same rule for the states. Thomas Jefferson called ex post facto laws as equally unjust in civil cases as it is in criminal. Now, to be clear, some of these legal sites and some of these legal minds, they only look at this as criminal. But he actually, and the Constitution does not differentiate between criminal and or civil. And when I say civil, that goes into the aspects of, like I said, the water or sewage. Let's say all of a sudden they pass a law, if you have septic tanks, that say you have to have that septic tank pumped every 2 years and certified. Well, if you bought the property and you didn't have to do that, and now they're telling you you have to, that is an ex post facto law. Now, it's different if they pass a law that all new home sales that are septics will require that the homeowner must do this. And then they're good. But by applying that to everybody where it has been legal not to do that, and now they criminalize that and come after you, whether they either throw you in jail or they throw, fees, fines, and assessments and so forth, and they come after you for money. And this is all about money, really. But it's still a civil case. And so bottom line, these are unjust laws, period. One of the things I want to give you is an example of an ex post facto law involving child abuse. And I think you're going to find this kind of interesting because as repugnant as we find child abuse and molestation and those types of things absolutely unacceptable, you have to understand that as paradigms change, because the Me Too movement is causing paradigm changes as well. And we're moving through, I've told people that we've become a misandrous society a long time ago, and that's not a good thing. But let me give you this example. An example of an ex post facto law comes from the case of Stogner v. California, which the Supreme Court heard in June of 2003. I'm reading this summary here, and I think this is from legal definitions or something like that. Actually, I've got it right here. I want you to know exactly where the source is because I don't want to. LegalDictionary.com, something like that. LegalDictionary.net. Anyway, the Supreme Court heard June 2003. Here, Marion Stogner, charged with sex-related child abuse from the period of 1955 to 1973, was indicted in 1998. He came to the authorities' attention when his daughters reported that Stogner had repeatedly abused them while they were under the age of 14 years old. In 1993, the state of California passed a new statute of limitations regarding prosecution for sex-related child abuse. Specifically, the law allowed the prosecution of a person who otherwise would have not been due to the statute expiring. However, for this to occur, the prosecution must indicate the defendant within 1 year of the victim's report. So in other words, they're trying to change the statute so they could, make these things wide open, which is good. We want to do that. During the time Stogner allegedly committed the crimes at issue, the statute of limitations in the state of California for these crimes was 3 years. Stogner moved to dismiss the charges against him, arguing that the ex post facto clause of the Constitution prohibited the new statute. Further, he argued, I really don't believe he argued these. I truly believe he just had a good, smart lawyer that understood the Constitution and his civil rights. And even though we understand that criminals are disgusting pigs, especially people like this that, need to be castrated and all that type of thing, but that's the host's opinion. We do have these things that are protecting people, due process, and so forth. And so the trial and appeal. Upon the conclusion of his trial, the trial court agreed with Stogner that the ex post facto clause prohibits the revival of a prosecution that once was time barred. However, they dismissed his motion for dismissal. On appeal, the California Court of Appeal reversed the trial's decision on the former and confirmed the court on the latter. Stogner then appealed to the United States Supreme Court, who agreed to hear the case. The court had then decided whether the ex post facto clause prohibited California from retroactively extending the statute of limitations on sexual abuse cases involving minors. The Supreme Court decision ultimately, and perhaps surprisingly, the court sided with Stogner on this one. In a 5-4 decision, the court ruled that yes, California had violated the ex post facto law when it tried to revive an otherwise time-barred action. The court's reasoning was that California statute did exactly what the ex post facto clause tries to prevent, imposed punishments on an individual who was not liable as defined by the law. A law enacted after expiration of a previously applicable limitation period violates the ex post facto clause when it is applied to revive a previously time-barred prosecution. California's law extends the time in which prosecution is allowed, authorizes prosecution that the passage of time has previously barred and was enacted after prior limitation periods for Stogner's alleged offenses had expired. Such features produce the kind of retroactivity that the Constitution forbids. First, the law threatens the kinds of harm that the clause seeks to avoid, for the clause protects liberty by preventing governments from enacting statutes with manifestly unjust and oppressive retroactive effects. Second, the law fails literally within the categorical description of ex post facto laws that Justice Chase set forth more than 200 years ago in Calder v. Bull, which this court has recognized as an authoritative account of the clause's scope. It falls within the second category, which Justice Chase understood to include a new law that inflicts punishments where the party was not by law liable to any punishment. Third, numerous legislators, courts, and commentators have long believed it well settled that the clause forbids resurrection of a time-barred prosecution. So even though here's a person that had done not just repugnant, but just terrible things, here's a person that was able, because of these protections, and unfortunately, I don't think the paradigms have really changed too much. I think that even back in Christ's time and even at the framers' time, they just considered child abuse, this kind of child abuse, as just, reprehensible. And I think the fact of the matter is that when we're looking at somebody like this and the fact that the states had a statute of limitations, why did they even have a statute of limitations? Why did they even in place those things? Because had they not had a 3-year, anything after three, the question is, why was that in place? And I'm here to tell you that there may have been more protection for those in the political offices as we look at what's happening and how so many of our public servants are, owned by all sorts of egregious sins and so forth. Anyway, I'm rambling. We'll be right back into Bill of Attainders when we get back. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so as I ran out of time, and as I'm trying to impress upon you the clarity, the fact that when you create these statutes of limitations, then you make it impossible or hard for seeking justice down the road. Now, I get it that people can easily be dragged in over false accusations, and that happens all the time. That happens especially when one goes through a divorce or what have you. There's always, a huge battle over, oh, he did these terrible things, she did these terrible things, and so forth. So anyway, I know that we're a very vindictive society, and that's really unfortunate because that is unchristian-like in being vindictive. I believe there's something that says, forgive and forget, vengeance is mine, something like that. I don't know. I need to pull up the Bible. I'm not necessarily the most theologically, capable of citing all these things, but I do know that those fundamental principles are a part of the Christian culture and so forth. And I just want to put it out there. I really believe that when you allow government, and again, I think there was an ulterior motive with these public servants, that they wanted to create these statutes of limitations. And so anyway, and I think within doing that, they just protected themselves or the criminals or whomever, in instituting those. Moving on. Bill of Attainder laws. The term Bill of Attainder, we did cover these at the beginning of, Constitution Week as we kind of flew through these, but I only, just kind of gave you basic definitions. But a Bill of Attainder refers to the act of declaring a group of people guilty of a crime and punishing them for it, usually without a trial. In other words, boom, you're guilty of this. Officials have used bills of attainder to strip individuals of everything from their property to their lives. For example, bills of attainder caused the famous executions of several people by King Henry VIII, if you remember the old story of that. In addition, a bill of attainder law sentences a person or group of people to suffer punishment for a crime without, or a perceived crime, without being able to exercise their judicial rights in defending themselves. Now, you got to understand, we have rights. The Constitution, we have inalienable rights, and then we have those inalienable rights that are protected by the Constitution. And in this particular case, the U.S. Constitution forbids bill of attainders in Article 1, Section 9, and Section 10. Both the states and federal government are forbidden to pass these types of laws. The governments are. The fact that the ban extends to the states just shows how important those who drafted the Constitution believes this issue to be. Now, I want to expand this paradigm once we kind of get through these, let's say, definitions or, you know, digging into this. The ban reinforces the separation. So there's two factors here. The ban on bill of attainder reinforces the separation of powers by forbidding the legislative branch of government from engaging in judicial or executive acts. Because what are they doing? They're passing a law. They're becoming judge and executioner. The ban also supports the concept of due process, one of the rights attributed by the Constitution in the Bill of Rights to every American citizen, as well as in the 14th Amendment. Okay? We've gone through this a lot. One would assert, now, so this is where I really want to go down a rabbit hole with you. If you understand what a bill of attainder is, and I'm going to get back to right at the beginning here, where a bill of attainder is declaring, it's an act or a law of declaring a group of people guilty of a crime and punishing them for it without a trial. In other words, without going through the judicial process. Now, let me ask you this. Is there such a thing as bills of attainder that are declared by society? In other words, one would assert that a bill of attainder is a legal punishment only, but I am here to purport and I am attesting that in a societal sense, we now have an ideological collusion between the leftists and communists, the media, the education, and the entertainment industries and our systems. In other words, everybody, and even government, even the communist footings in government are all working together because we actually have these watch lists. And if you remember, under Obama, they said veterans are considered a great threat because they're patriots and they don't look at the federal government favorably. That doesn't matter. They have no business doing that. But instead of coming in and stripping us, they created a label. And this is what's happening, my friends. Bills of attainder are being done in a societal sense where if you're white, if you're a white male, and you walk into a room and people see that, that guy's a racist. We're already being tarnished in the space of paradigms and perceptions because, again, like I said, the ideological collusion between the communists, the media, the education, entertainment industries, and our systems. And as a matter of fact, I even include the government because when the government comes after folks or they start using labels, this goes tantamount to the concept of label lynching. When all of a sudden they start creating a label. And as a matter of fact, don't tell me that there isn't harm being done by doing this because good friends of mine who got caught up and they got label lynched just because they allowed somebody to come to their organization with an opportunity to speak. And as a matter of fact, there is zero proof that what this person said, and as a matter of fact, listening to what this person said, there was no white supremacist or racism or anything like that. there was zero evidence really that has come forth on any of the websites that really prove that this person is racist. This person is actually, and I forget the guy's name, Alsip or something like that. This guy is actually trying to get people to look at, broaden their paradigm to say, hey, look, it is counterintuitive to think that you can label white people as all bad because, you know, colonialism and everything else, when bottom line, the Western society may have been the most efficient in, you know, in its conquest and so forth, but every race had done it. Egypt, every race had done it and had done it for a long time. And even today, Russia and China are doing colonialism. The Communist Party is working in colonialism. And instead of working in the ideological space, and that's why, you know, I'm constantly harping on the fact that we need to be pursuing other states to become a part of this constitutional republic and get rid of the UN. But my point is, my friends, is that don't tell me that there's no harm when you start label lynching people, because I can tell you that my good friends have, this has been well over a year now since they've been label lynched, over a year, and they are having, I mean, they have their, the people that really know them know that it's all a lie, but everybody else has bought into and they go, oh, you know, those people are racist, they're white and they're racist. And the damage that was done, and the damage came from, again, the media, education, and in this case, not the entertainment industries, but there is that support or that reinforcement that comes from the, you know, supporting these paradigms. But the local county sheriff stood up with a finger of judgment, and actually, instead of being the judicial and allowing things to go through a judicial process and giving these people their due process, these folks were denied and they have been damaged and libeled. And I told them at the very beginning, you guys are being libeled and you cannot allow that to happen. Jeanette Finnecombe was also libeled by the Spokane County Sheriff. When he basically referred to her husband as a radical, America's patriotic widow, right? I mean, basically, Jeanette Finnecombe is America's patriotic widow because she is a patriot, her husband was a patriot, and she is a widow to the state. And this is why you need to read that article. You need to understand that the federal government has no constitutional ability to create a standing army of federal enforcements. You need to understand what we have in the Constitution and what we have to get back to. There is only one process of doing this, my friends, and it's not going to come from the White House. They don't have the constitutional authority to do this. The Supreme Court doesn't have the constitutional authority to do this, nor do they have the jurisdiction. And, oh, by the way, Congress doesn't even have the jurisdiction. The only entities that have the jurisdiction are the states. That is why the states have to assert their authority over the Constitution and audit the Constitution against the federal government to basically identify all of the infractions that the federal government is exercising that is outside the boundaries of the Constitution, and then coalescing together, uniting, and identifying what needs to happen to get the federal government back into compliance with the Constitution. As you know, we're working our backsides off. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.